Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom once again of coming before you through your word preached to us. We ask for your Holy Spirit once again to move upon us. You are going to be the one to minister to us, and you will only use your servant and enable him to speak your word in clarity and in faithfulness, and that you alone might be known and seen in our midst. Hide him behind your cross and help him be able to proclaim your truth and your truth alone. Thank you for every heart that you have allowed to be here today. You know their needs. You know how to address them. You know how to fulfill every purpose you have through your word, the living word that would help us recognize the teaching, the rebuking, the correcting, and the training that we need as a people of God. Thank you for this time. Do guide us and let your name be honored through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll continue our discussion on the book of 2 Timothy. And we are now in chapter 4, this study. We have entitled Passing On the Legacy of Enduring Faith. And chapter 4, we have entitled The Privilege and Practice of a Faithful Ministry. And we began discussing verses 1 to 5, and we've entitled that The Preaching of the Eternal Word. So verses 1 to 5, Paul expresses his desire for his son in the faith, Timothy, and gave him this charge to preach the word in and out of season. And even in the midst of the context that they were in, Paul wanted Timothy to be central in terms of the proclamation of the word of God. Okay, that there's no other task being given to him to fulfill, but in being able to preach the living and eternal word of God. And he gives him some charge in terms of the way he was going to preach the word. And he said, I solemnly charge you, sabi po niya kay Timothy, preach the word, which is the solid word of God, the solid content of the word. And this is the time in terms of the context of Christ coming and appearing in judgment. And it's a sovereign concern for us to realize that Christ will return and that there will be a time of retribution and judgment when Jesus comes. To those who have trusted in Christ, they will experience eternal life, but to those who have rejected him, definitely they will incur condemnation from the Lord himself. And then Paul presses on Timothy to preach the word in constancy by saying he should be ready in season and out of season. Why? Because he said the time will come that people will not endure sound doctrine. And this is a challenge for him to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and careful instruction. And finally, he said, fulfill your ministry, he said in verse 5. So we'll be looking at this morning, verses 6 to 8. And this section I've entitled, The Pattern of Sacrificial Service. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. Paul declares, For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So here, brethren, we see the Apostle Paul addressing, or he is no longer addressing Timothy at this point, but he is giving himself as an illustration. He's telling Timothy, okay, Timothy, as I've given you this charge, I, as your disciple, or I, as the one who entrusted these magnificent things, you know, through the Lord and by His grace, I have charged you already, but I'd like you to know that I'm not telling you these things without myself also knowing and responding to these truths that the Lord has given. And so he allows himself now, you know, to be the illustration and to set himself to be the pattern. And he says, I am already, for I am already being poured out. So in these verses, we see the Apostle Paul himself pouring out his heart or giving his own testimony of how he had been living his life for the Lord and how he is conducting himself in view of the fact that this might be his last, and that he is giving all of these things to Timothy, knowing that in the future, in the near future, he might experience his own sentence, and that is death by execution. Because during that time, they would not sentence a criminal by crucifixion. During those times, they would execute a criminal by beheading them. So that Paul was already having that in mind, was having that in mind already. So bear that in context as Paul brings to Timothy these words. I've entitled this "A Pattern of Sacrificial Service," because I believe there is something we can find here, brethren, in terms of serving God. And Paul had conducted himself in faithfulness. And serving God in faithfulness requires an acknowledgement, first of all, of the sacred trust we have been given. This is a calling from God. This is not something that we were just doing for ourselves and for anybody else, but it is for the Lord. It is from the Lord, and it is for the Lord that we do these things. In preaching the word, in continuing on in the ministry, in serving Him in whatever capacity, we know that this is a spiritual service that we render unto the Lord. And not just for ourselves or to please anyone, but the Lord has given this sacred trust. It is a trust, so that as servants of the Lord, we consider it a privilege for us. And at the same time, we know that we've been given this stewardship. We know that we are just mere servants of the Lord, and that we are called to be trustworthy and to be faithful in it. And it requires all of us, brethren, to know that, to acknowledge that as we serve the Lord. Secondly, there should be a willingness to fulfill one's call amidst great sacrifice. In this passage, brethren, we will be seeing how Paul is going to really offer himself for God, his life for this matter, a great sacrifice for the Lord. Just as how Jesus himself had offered himself to die on the cross for us, Paul was willing to also submit himself for the Lord's will, so that he could also offer his life for the Lord. Okay, hindi po para sa atin o sa sino man sa atin, kundi po para sa Panginoon. And this time, he wanted to please his master. It's not that we could repay the Lord, but we know that God requires certain aspects of our lives that we need to give up for Him. We need to make sacrifices for Him and for His name's sake. Then we should be willing to do that. We should be willing to give that for the Lord. And in this particular case, Paul was going to really give his life for the sake of the cross, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be seeing some principles here, brethren, about faithful sacrificial service. And I'll be giving us three things with regard to sacrificial service. It involves, first of all, in Paul's statement in verse 6, the realization of our impending death. Yes, brethren, we need to realize that we ourselves are faced with our own death. Maybe not as immediate or not as something or like Paul, that he was already anticipating that. Why? Because he was in prison and awaiting his sentence in the coming months or days ahead even. But for us, some of us might say, well, I still have my life to look forward to about my impending death might still be several years from now. But I believe, brethren, that none of us can really be sure about this. That any time God can bring us to this point when we are faced with our own death. And the sooner we are faced with it, the sooner we recognize our need to be faithful to the Lord, our need to realize I have so little time left, okay, so that I might as well live it out for the Lord. Might as well use this to be able to serve my God faithfully. So this realization of death, and Paul said, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. So in this statement, brethren, he gives to us two metaphors, okay, a description of the way that he understands his impending death, how he calculates the situation he was in. And the first thing is this, that he considers life, his life, as an offering to God. He knew that from the time he was born and from the time the Lord called him to himself, from that way to Damascus, when the Lord confronted him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Until the time when he declared, Lord, okay, forgive me, or the time when he acknowledged Jesus Christ in his life, that he is the one whom he was persecuting. He says, I am already now being poured out as a drink offering. This statement of being a drink offering points us back, okay, to the Old Testament command of the Lord when the people of God would offer sacrifices to God, a lamb that is unblemished, that they would slaughter it in the temple. And together with that, they would burn it, okay, through fire, and then offer wine and drink offering for the Lord. So magbubuhos po sila ng wine, no, during that time. Maari po sa lingwahe po natin, no, sa mga Gentiles, di ba, yung mga nag-aatang, parang ganun, ano, no, sa mga manginginom po sa atin. Kaya yung iba, di ba, ginagawa, binubuhos yung unang ano nung alak nila. Okay? But of course, they're not doing that for God. Okay? There's no mistaking of that. They're doing that for themselves or their false God. Okay? But in this case, brethren, the Lord wanted the Israelites to recognize how important this is for Him. Okay? Now that's in the Old Testament. How they need to offer this to the Lord, the pleasing sacrifice to God, especially in verse 41, no, Exodus 29, sabi po niya doon, that they are going to pour out before the Lord to the altar of God for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Sweet aroma. Okay, something that is pleasing to God, something that is acceptable to God. So hindi po sila nag-offer basta-basta. Kailangan po yung unblemished na sacrifice. Kailangan po yung pure. Kailangan po yung unadulterated. And somehow Paul uses this to remind himself or to tell Timothy about the kind of life he was living for God, that he was conducting himself. I do not live my life for myself, he said, but I live it for God. I live it by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Remember in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And then in Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, Paul declared that he was pouring his life out as a drink offering for the Lord. If you might turn your Bibles there with me, Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, sorry, verse 17. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. And the same thing, brethren, in the context of Philippians, he was in prison, and yet he was there to encourage the people of God to rejoice in the Lord, to, to consider, even in the midst of suffering, they can still find joy and recognize. And even Paul here acknowledges how he was pouring out his life for the sake of the people of God as a sacrifice and service for the Lord, primarily, of course. And then as beneficiaries of that, the people of God are blessed, the people of God are benefited by this offering up of his life for the Lord. And we need to ask this ourselves, but how deliberate are we in presenting our lives as an offering before the Lord? Do we recognize that we are to offer our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice to God, as a form of service, as a form of worship to the Lord, that we had now been redeemed by God so that we could use every part of our being, our intellect, our minds, our words, our hearts, in the way that we conduct ourselves, in our walk, in our relationships, where we begin to offer our lives unto the Lord. The things that you think you possess, okay, they are for the Lord. They are for the Lord, and you want to use them for his glory, your time, your talent, your treasure. The Lord has granted all those things not merely for your own purpose or for your own use, but so that you can live those things and use those things to glorify him and to serve him with your life. How are we using our time? How are we using our treasure? How are we using our talents for the Lord? Okay, paano po natin ginugugol yung ating po mga oras para sa Panginoon? Mga sandali na binibigay po niya sa atin, do we see them as precious times that God has given to us? And it is wasteful to be able to just use them for selfish reasons or things that will not count for eternity. Although somehow the Lord allows moments for us to enjoy his blessings, to enjoy the things that he has freely granted to us, but know this, he has given you those things so that you might also learn to give an account of those to him. How are you using your talent and your resources in serving him for his glory? And the time that we involve ourselves in the service of God, okay, in encouraging people, in sharing the gospel to others, in being able to deliberately minister to people in need or who need the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's something for us to consider, that one day all of us somehow we attain to this reality that we will be able to overcome our accuser, okay, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and will not love our lives even unto death. Sabi po doon, ang testimony po ng mga martyrs para sa Panginoon. Ang testimony po ng mga tao na nagmamahal sa Panginoon. Of course, not all of us will be given that privilege of becoming a martyr for the Lord. Not many of us will be given that privilege na grabe po yung persecution na experience po natin sa ating buhay. But being a living sacrifice for the Lord entails, brethren, that even in times of comfort, even in times when we experience the blessings of the Lord, we consider how to serve him. We consider how we can use those things to continually glorify and serve him. And when in those times when we are called to suffer for his name's sake, when we are really to make a stand for his name's sake, and I believe if the Lord would allow that, hopefully, we will be given the strength and the grace to be able to stand up for him. Life, brethren, is an offering for the Lord. So conduct yourself as a living sacrifice for God. Secondly, brethren, this realization involves that his life will soon be past. And he said, my time of departure, the time of my departure has come. This is a graphic image, brethren, to signify an unyoking of an animal, okay, from a cart or a plow. Okay, it's unloosing a certain ship from the shore to be set free to go out into the open. And in the same way, brethren, God has given us this opportunity. When you talk about death, when you talk about departure, okay, this is our time to say, this is my time to go home. This is my time to really find my rest, to enter into true rest, everlasting rest. Kaya nga po, may mga libingan, tinatawag na or eternal, okay, rest or something like that, that we would consider that perhaps, of course, sa mga namamatay. Kaya na yun na yung destination po nila eh, ng pangatawan nila, but not recognize, of course, that if you are a believer, okay, you know that your final rest is to be with the Lord and in the Lord. Our everlasting rest is in God, and yun hinahanap po natin. Hindi po dito ang permanenteng tirahan po natin. Hindi po tayo tagalupa. Kaya tayo po ay mga anak ng Panginoon. Sitista declares these words, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And hopefully this is a continual reminder for us that we have a very limited time in this life. Mga kapatid, haharap po tayo sa pagkakataon na lilisanin na po natin ang mundong ito. Haharap po tayo sa panahon ng mga bagay na inaakala po natin magbibigay ng kasiyahan po sa atin. Okay, will just end up bringing us misery and pain and sorrow in our life. Okay, in trying to seek for things that will finally be destroyed, will be taken from us, or we will be leaving behind. So kung ang tao po ay nakalagay lamang kanyang pag-asa sa mundong ito, o kanyang pag-asa ay nakalagay lamang sa mga bagay ng mundo, then one day, he will be disappointed. We will be disappointed if you have done that, if we are doing that in our lives. But as people of God, we need to embrace this understanding that life will soon be past. We need to embrace this understanding, brethren, that we do not live here. We do not accumulate things for ourselves here on this earth. Okay, and should reflect our priorities. How do our priorities and preferences reflect that we are living on borrowed time, brethren? Do we know that we are on borrowed time? Do we recognize this and reflect that in terms of the priorities and the preferences of our lives, the choices that we make, the decision that we make? Okay, do they reflect these truths, this understanding that we are on borrowed time? Paul declares his words to the Philippians, for I am hard-pressed, after saying to live is Christ, to die is gain. Sabi po niya, I am hard-pressed between the two, having a strong desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful. I want to still be with you, sabi po niya, for the Philippians. But if God takes me anytime, it will be a privilege. It will be my joy. Because to live is Christ, to die is gain. And he points that out to the fact in chapter 3 also. Sabi po niya, our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. We are citizens of heaven. And right now we are awaiting the Savior who will transform our bodies. He will give us our resurrection bodies. He will change us, brethren, finally, into something eternal, from being temporal in the flesh, into something that will last for eternity. Because this flesh cannot live in eternity. We are living in tents, brethren, in here, in this flesh. And one day, we will go to heaven. And he will give us a body not made with human hands or anything, but eternal in the heavens. And we will be set free from all the labors, from all the pains, from all the sufferings, from all the difficulties or even from all the temptations and lures of this world, from evil desires, from temptations, from sin, even more, brethren, because we will be forever in the Lord's presence. And praise God for allowing us to experience it. For a genuine believer in Christ, death is not something we fear, but it's something, brethren, that we recognize as a hopeful reality. This is something to be feared, like people who do not know God. We know that this is something that the Lord has provided for us and granted to us as part of our hope in Christ, a hopeful reality. Death is a passage to true rest and comfort that we do seek. Pero minsan, pag dumadaan po tayo sa mga pagsubok, pag nagkakasakit po tayo, naisip po natin, Lord, kailan mo po i-transform yung body ko, Panginoon? Of course, we long for healing from the Lord, but the ultimate healing, brethren, one day will happen when the Lord give us our eternal rest and comfort. Like someone who formerly lived as a stranger, but now finally be returning home. Home at last. Home at last, to be with the Lord, to face my Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple, to be able to experience the rest that I've been longing for. Minsan, we struggle our way. We try to have our one foot on the world and one foot in heaven. That should not be, brethren, because God wants us to fix our eyes on things above and not on the things that are on earth. Because the things that are above are eternal, and the things that are on earth are temporal. George Whitefield says this, "I go to my everlasting rest. My sun has risen, shone, and is setting. Nay, it is about to rise and shine forever." Okay, maari mo, matay ako, magpifade ako. Okay, my sun, okay, will be setting. But it will soon rise and shine forever. Why? Because He is with the Lord. I have not lived in vain. And though I could live to preach Christ 1,000 years, I die to be with Him, which is far better. Which is far better. A day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere, sabi po ng salmista. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the unrighteous. And may that thought continue to grip us, brethren, as we continue to live our lives for the Lord. As we pour our lives for the Lord's sake, being conscious of our death, unafraid and undeterred, we desire to remain faithful to God's mandate and seek to fulfill our God-given ministry. As an opportunity for us, brethren, kunting panahon na lamang natitira. Panginoon, I want to offer my body, my life to you as a sacrifice, an offering before you, a pleasing aroma before you. Lord, my time of departure is at hand. I'll be leaving behind many things in this life. But help me to minimize. If not, Lord, remove the regrets I might feel, Lord, when I come before you, so that I will not be ashamed when I face you, Lord, in my life. And one thing, brethren, even as God's servants may die, God's work continues. We, you, and I might die, brethren, but God's work continues. He will be the one to carry on with the work that He had called us to do. So even with Paul, brethren, hindi po tragic yun sa kanya. It is really a blessing from the Lord. It's only a matter of time, and he's looking forward to that. He is anticipating that, in fact. Okay, that's the first thing, brethren, being able to realize our impending death. Second, involves a resolution. Resolution in terms of our intended duties. We have a duty to fulfill, brethren. We are called by God. Paul said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." And therefore, in his heart, he wanted to continue with all the duties that God has given to him for as long as he is alive, for as long as he has breath in him. Gusto niyang gamitin po yan para sa Panginoon. And this must be our resolve, brethren, three areas with firm conviction. We must resolve to, number one, triumph in the faith. We are to triumph in the faith. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. Going back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul reminds Timothy that he need to fight as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier of Jesus Christ entangles himself in civilian affairs, but wants to please his commanding officer, he said in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And here we find Paul recognizing that life is a fight. We struggle. This is a warfare, brethren, that we are engaged in. Hindi po ito laro, mga kapatid. This world, sabi nga po ng isang author, is not a playground. This is a battleground. And you are called upon by the Lord to fight the good fight of the faith. To fight our common enemy, Satan, the world, and the flesh. To fight without fear. Paul declaring, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, of power, and self-discipline. And he called upon us not to be ashamed of Christ and of his gospel. To fight for the gospel. To fight for the truth of God, even in this skeptical, unbelieving world that we live in. To fight for our faith and our devotion to God when moments are difficult, when we are tempted, when we are lax in our commitment to God. We need to remind ourselves, I need to fight the good fight of the faith. I need to triumph in this fight because the Lord had called me to do this. Brethren, the cares of this world, the things of this life, the fear of man, we need to overcome criticism, discouragement, the besetting sins in our lives. As we grow in our commitment to the Lord, we fight for our commitment to Him. We fight for our desire to honor and glorify the Lord, no matter what the cost, no matter what that entails for us. Because we recognize that it is not a playground, this is a battleground. Paul recognizes this and reminds himself as well, do you not know that those who run in a race, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it, and if everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, now they do it to obtain perishable crown, but for us, we do it for an imperishable crown. Sabi po ni Pablo, therefore I aim not as someone running aimlessly, but I buffet or I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I will not be disqualified for the prize. This is a fight, brethren. It's not just a fight. It is a good fight. We are fighting for a good cause, our good God, the things of His goodness that He manifests for us as His people. The good fight in the sense that we continue to carry it out until we attain victory, brethren, until we triumph, until we begin to experience the victory and say, Lord, thank you for allowing me. Praise be to God who enables us to triumph. Blessed be God who allows us to experience, okay, His victory, His triumph over sin and over death. And that's why even in a time when we will die, it says, death, O death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? And we can declare with all our might, death has been won. Christ has been victorious. This is a noble thing that we are engaged in, brethren. So do not grow weary in fight. Keep fighting for the Lord. Triumph in the faith. Secondly, take on the race. Paul said, I have finished the race. Here, he is pointing to the fact that life is a marathon. It's not just a running sprint for that matter, brethren. It is a marathon contest. The longer it gets, brethren, the tiring, the more tiring it is. And that's the Christian life. Okay, pahirap na po ng pahirap. Kinisip natin, mas tumatanda na tayo, lumalapit na yung pagdating ng Panginoon, yung time ng binibigay sa atin ng Panginoon, even ng ating pong kamatayan, but the more tired we get, the more weary we become. Diba? Parang, Lord, last na to, last, final bout na to, Panginoon, or last 100 meters na lang to, Panginoon. But of course, we need to strive with all our might, brethren, to finish the race. Doesn't matter, brethren, how long we'll be able to finish. As long as we finish. As long as we finish our race, brethren. So don't give up. Continue to run the race that is marked before you. Paul recounted the fact and he said to the people of Ephesus, sabi po niya doon sa kanila, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only that I may finish the race that the Lord has given to me. Okay, and I'd be able to fulfill the call of God and the task He has given to me, the task of preaching the gospel. Okay, so as he looked back to his life, he recognized that this is now the time. This is now the time. And that's why he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. In all finality, brethren, masasabi po niya na kanya na pong natapos ang takbuin. Despite all the odds, despite all the obstacles that he experienced in his life, the beatings, the imprisonments, the persecutions, the shipwrecks, the sleepless nights, the poverty, the hunger, the thirst, everything that he experienced for the sake of Jesus Christ, he was able to say, in the midst of it all, in the midst of it all, the Lord has given me strength. In the midst of it all, the Lord has sustained me. And not only sustained me, I won and I'm victorious. Praise God. Brethren, let's continue to take the race, take on that race that is marked before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And last and thirdly, brethren, it says, treasure the faith. Treasure your faith. Keep the faith. Because it says that Paul acknowledges that all throughout his life, he had been serving the Lord, and he reminded Timothy of that. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a clear conscience and a sincere faith. And that's why you need to continue in the faith. Be nourished in the faith. Guard the faith. Do not depart from the faith, just like the rest of the people in second of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Many people will depart from the faith. They will abandon this faith. They will look for some other things to trust. Or they will try to think that they can save themselves instead of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone as their Savior and Lord. And so this is important when it comes to our Christian life, brethren. Hindi lamang po yung faith in terms of our personal faith and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for our Savior as our Savior and Lord. Nag-umpisa po doon, mga kapatid, but we have been also entrusted with the body of faith, the truths of the scriptures that feeds our faith, that builds up our faith, that we continue to grow in the grace of God and in the knowledge of Him. And the faith that was once entrusted to us, brethren, we continue to pass it on to the rest of the people around us, so that they too might embrace this faith, so that they too might live by faith, so that they too might continue to walk by faith and not by sight. Ito pong panawagan po natin bilang mga anak ng Panginoon. And during these times, brethren, of vice and violence, or people continually turning their backs from God, this is a moment of solid faith. This is a moment when we can continue to declare, my faith is founded on solid rock. My faith is in Jesus Christ alone. My faith is in the solid truth of God's infallible, inerrant, inspired word of God. And I will not forsake him. I will not forsake these words. I will continue to fight. I will continue to run the race. And I will continue to keep the faith until the work is done. Until I am able to say with Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And the third principle, brethren, in terms of sacrificial, faithful service, is the recognition, not just the realization of our impending death, not just the opportunity for us to resolve in our lives to accomplish our intended duties in fighting, in running, and in keeping the faith, but also to know that our incentives are disclosed before us. In other words, Paul said, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who loved his appearing. The crown, the incentive, the reward that awaits us as people of God. Sometimes we think that it's selfish to think about the reward. But not if you are living your life in a godly way. Not if you know that your priority is truly glorifying and honoring the Lord. And in a sense, you're not really seeking after the reward. You seek after the rewarder who will give you the reward one day. You prioritize the one who will one day give you that reward. And so continue to walk with him. Continue to honor him with your life. Continue to be a shining testimony for him. Do not live for that which will one day perish or fade, but live for that which will endure for eternity. And brethren, yes, the world may not recognize us, and we experience undue rejection from the world. And yet we can be certain that a life of service and sacrifice for the Lord, you might want to add there, will be greatly rewarded. It will be eternally rewarded by God. It's not just great is your reward, but eternal is your reward. It will last for all eternity. These people who run, okay, and compete in the games or participate in all these endeavors, yes, they may earn their trophies, they may earn their wreath, they may earn their medals, they might have all the applause of man, they might have all the recognition they like, but the recognition must come first and foremost from our God. The recognition must come first and foremost from our God. Now we know, brethren, that the things that the Lord will give to us are eternal. The reward that the Lord presents to us, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day, for momentary light affliction is providing an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. But we look not at things that are seen, but the things that which are not seen. And the things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. And yes, brethren, Jesus reminds the people of his time and to all of us as well. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, nor thieves break in. But lay up treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Moses, considering the eternal reward that he had, even though he was formerly the prince of Egypt, says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the eternal reward. That's how Moses conducted himself. Hindi siya nakontento na, Lord, I'm going to be the prince. I'm going to be, yes, the Lord fulfilled that later on in his life after learning the lessons that the Lord wanted him to learn all throughout his life. And God called him to lead the people out of Egypt into the promised land. And one day, brethren, hoping that we will hear these words from the Lord, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your master. What a wonderful climax, brethren. What a wonderful words. What wonderful words those are to be able to hear those things from our Lord. God's servants may face unjust, severe ill treatment while serving the master. They will persecute us. They will take you to court. They will do all these kinds of things, the Lord said. But take heart. Take courage. He has overcome. Our master will give us the reward. Great is your reward. Rejoice if you have been persecuted for my name's sake, because great will be your reward. They are sure to find the one who sees will fulfill all his promises. The Lord, who had already said that and reminded us time and again, I will greatly reward you. I will not forget even a cup of cold water you've given to these little ones. When you visit the prison, you have visited me. When you've fed the poor, you have fed me. You have done these things for me, sabi ng Panginoon. Because you've done it for the Lord and not for your sake. You've done it out of the motivation of faith and truth and salvation. You're not doing it to earn merit from God, but you're doing it because the Lord has done great things in your life and you are His workmanship created in Christ to do good works. And you don't worry about your reward, of course, because definitely the Lord will fulfill that. But you know in sight that one day, Lord, you will reward me. There's no mistaking about it. So Lord, help me to maximize my time here on earth. Help me to live my life for your sake and for your glory. I bring you Hebrews chapter 6. Brethren, before I conclude, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, remind the people of his time in saying these words in chapter 6, verse 10 and following. He said, "For God is not unjust, so as to forget your work, and for the love which you have shown toward his name, in having ministered and still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end." Okay, so that brethren, as people of God, the Lord is not unjust to forget these things. The Lord will reward us definitely as we continue to serve Him. God has given to us these assurances. So as we continue to live our lives, we are engaged, we are motivated, we know what we've been called to do and how to finish and accomplish the things that He has already called us. We only have a short time to be able to do these things. It is important for us as people of God to realize our life, brethren, we are on borrowed time, and that we need to continually depend on the grace of God with all His intended duties for us to triumph in the fight, in the race that we are running, and to keep the faith as we look forward to experience our eternal rewards. This is our faithful God who loves us and has called us to this noble calling. Brethren, may we be found faithful in the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for how you had set us apart for your grace, for your work. Thank you for your grace that enabled us to be who we are as your people. We belong to you and not of this world. We may be in the world, but we are not of this world. And so we look to you as our eternal God, as the one who continues to guide us throughout our life, as the one who enables us to triumph, to fight the good fight of the faith, to run the race with endurance, to keep the faith, so that one day we'll conduct ourselves as a pleasing offering to you and receive our reward from you. Thank you, Lord, for each of your children have come today. May your blessing rest upon them. You know their hearts. And we pray that your word will continue to bear fruit in our lives, O Lord. As we go forth on this place, we ask for your mercy and protection. As you lead us to be a testimony for your name, use our lives to share your gospel to others. And that we might not waste our time and the things that you have granted to us. Thank you also that we can give to you our tithes and offerings. You are faithful in providing all our needs. You are faithful to fulfill your good purposes for us. You know the needs that are represented in this church. And so we ask, O Lord, that you be the one to answer our prayers. You know the needs of your people as well. As they, in faith, Lord, give generously. As they give, Lord, in faith, knowing that it is from your hand that we receive good things, Father. I pray your blessing upon them and upon each and every heart represented, each and every family represented here today. Thank you, O Lord. Glorify your name. Lord, as we spend just a few moments, Lord God, to pray for one another, I ask that you would grant us this time to encourage one another. And also, Lord, that you bring to our resolve, Lord, the things that you want us to do after this, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.